Fan Morning Show. Sports at 590, The Fan. Blake Murphy, J.D. Bunkus, Alish Forfar. Happy Major League Baseball opening day. The Toronto Blue Jays don't open until tomorrow, Friday, 7:07 against the Texas Rangers at Rogers Center. However, we've got seven games today. We got Brewers and Cubs kicking off the season at 2:20. That TikTok star, Joey Votto, apparently plays baseball. He'll be in action for the Cincinnati Reds. We got both reigning MVPs in action. And tomorrow, your Toronto Blue Jays get going. Today and tomorrow are going to be pretty loaded Jays preview shows. I put in a lot of work for this, guys. Ailish is out gallivanting. She hasn't even washed her makeup off her face.
Okay, that's a lie. Skincare is truly like the most important facet of my life. I don't care if I've been out till the crack of dawn. I'm taking off my makeup.
Well, we start the show before the crack of dawn, so I hope you weren't out to the crack of dawn. JD's trying to get in on the chirping here, but he's muted, so you know he had a good night.
He's having a rough go.
55 seconds into the show, and he's already messed up the mute.
I got overly excited because for two reasons. One is that, like you said it, Ailish was gallivanting last night, but it was literal. She was literally at a gala. It's like, this is it. She was gallivanting.
I was at a gala, and I was
gallivanted. You vanted at the gala. How was your vanting?
And I'm still vanted here at 6 a.m., baby.
Yeah, well, because for contractual obligation. No, I like you're like, I showed up for work, everyone.
A lot of people thought I couldn't do it. They thought it couldn't be done. My coworkers at our table that we shared at the Easter Seals event.
They were like, look at you, sloppy
steaks. There's not a chance that you're going to make it. And look at me now. They said, I'm tuning in the morning. Oh, good
Blake,
morning.
This is classic Gen Z of her, where her just showing up to work, she's like, hello, where is my prize? hello, prize department, I am here.
We're going to do a lot of Blue Jays props, real and fake, to set up the season throughout the show today. And Ailish's is just going to be, well, don't you win MVP for playing the most games? You just show up the most time. You go 0 for 600, but hey, I was there the most. I didn't miss any days. I wasn't on the disabled list.
This is a bonus double aux cord. I also got very excited because this was one of those, like, I'm jamming the buzzer knowing who this is.
Yeah.
Blake do this one?
I did. Yeah. So Ailish.
So this is my all-time favorite, one of my all-time favorite walk-ups. This is Colby Rasmus.
Yes.
And the song is Boys Round Here, and it's, I mean, that's pretty clear because he says Boys Round Here, and that's how
like
you take a country.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how country songs get determined. Into like. But Colby Rasmus, all-time, this is Colby Rasmus, I need to bring this up with you guys right away. He is an all-time Blue Jays. You bring a date to the game or some girls to the game that don't really watch the Jays play, and they go, who's that guy? He's the leader of who's that guy.
I thought Brett Laurie was that guy.
Brett Laurie,
it's a different type of person who's like, but what's that guy's deal?
Yeah, that says a lot about you.
That's a chaotic friend.
I was going to say
a chaotic friend if they're asking about Brett
Laurie.
That's
a real indicator that you like the Red Bull bro who's like, hashtag blessed.
I didn't say I was interested in Brett Laurie. I said that a lot of people had the hots for Brett Laurie.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people who mainline protein powder.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to be a juice, like a bro to.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that Brett Laurie actually invented the hashtag. Like, he was the first guy to do hashtags. So, who's that guy is a title holder for the Toronto Blue Jays. And who's that guy was Colby Rasmus. On the Blue Jays last year, it was Randall Grichuk. And who's that guy was Randall Grichuk for many seasons. So now I ask the two of you, like, who is now the leader? Maybe I should just better ask Blake, but it's like, who is that guy? Who is the person you bring a date and they ask you, who's that guy?
I'll tell you, I don't have an answer ready because it was going to be Greg Bird, Mr. Cheekbones himself.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
That was going to be the easy answer. He's this huge,
but
everyone knows Bo at this point.
Yeah, Bo's.
You're not supposed to know the person?
Well, it's not supposed to be, like, Bo and Vlad are above the line of, like, they're too popular. They're too known. Okay. They're on commercials. They're on the billboards and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that it's for you to be who's that guy. I think that is an important caveat, that you can't be a superstar within the city.
Okay.
Because those two guys are literally, like, the heads of the faces of the marketing, Kim. Of the marketing campaign, right?
Like, so I have two answers for this. Mm-hmm. I think Teoscar is the, he's so cute. I get that a lot from
great
friends.
Smile.
And like my mom loves Teoscar.
About you?
But Teoscar's more of like he's cute in the sense of like hey, Teoscar, I love how we're starting the Blue Jays season preview with who's the most handsome. That's true. And it's like
it's important.
It is important. But Teoscar is like, oh, like that guy's cute. That guy seems nice. He's not like Grichuk and Colby where it's like that. Like I said, he shows up and girls like, who's that guy? Like, I don't think they're doing that with Teo. I don't know if we have one this year. Maybe they're going to reveal themselves. Maybe it's a bullpen guy that I don't know yet.
I always think Gurriel's been slept on in that regard. But maybe the hair is just a little too goofy.
No, it's not. You're not showing up with that hair.
Let's think on that. You can send us texts throughout the day, 590-590, with your picks on all the Jays stuff that we're going to talk about. We're going to do real props for the season. I made up some serious ones. I made up some less serious ones. We got our pal Ben Ennis coming on at 7 o'clock. Arden, arm swelling, swelling at 8 o'clock. Chris Mad Dog Russo. At 9.
Mad Dog, every time we get him, I'm just like, wow. Yeah.
A lot of baseball stuff. We'll also talk some Masters with Ben Ennis and Ian Baker Finch at 9:30.
Yeah.
The Masters obviously start today. Tiger Woods tees off at 10:34, I believe. So, 10:34. Fun show today. Fun show. A-List, we'll talk more about your gala and your gallivanting in the A-List.
No problem. Not a problem.
What secrets did you spill? What did you say to people when you had like three glasses of wine?
I just talked smack about you guys.
Yeah, the A-List is... We're going to get Vic to do the A-List, and it's top five chirps she had about you and I.
Like that she's drinking out of a wine glass this morning. Like her water is out of a wine glass. It looks like she's just continuing her night with a little bit of white wine.
She's just
Herod the dogging this sucker all the way through. Okay,
just
so Blake
glass,
Murphy,
folks.
You did all the work.
In addition to the props, the other thing I did is that coming out of each break, and sorry to the people who are listening on the podcast, but I'll put all of these on the Fan Morning Show Oxcord Friday Spotify playlist. If you want to play along or you want to reminisce about some songs, A-List, I know you've got the Oxcord tomorrow, so I didn't do any song that was used last year or that we've heard this year in spring training or anything like this. It's all older guys. Nobody's still active on the team. And some of them are easy. Some of them are tougher. That 6 a.m. one, everyone knows that's Colby. It's the two country songs I know that aren't Maren Morris or Casey Musgraves are Colby's walk-up song and another
Justin
one.
Smokes.
We'll see if that one makes it in. I don't know. But we'll play that game a little bit.
I hope
bit.
So, because I also like that one. So you better make it today.
Yeah. I tried to pick some for 7 and 7:30 that might be in Ben Ennis' wheelhouse. We'll see. So you guys can play along with that as well. And again, that's the Fan Morning Show Oxcord Friday playlist on Spotify if you want to check them out.
Text lines are already bumping with our question. 100% every woman loved Brett Laurie. Yes. Thank you for supporting that.
Is that from
everybody,
a dude?
I don't know. They didn't put their name or gender in the text. And then
Brett Laurie. That's for Brett Laurie.
It is Brett Laurie texting.
Brett Laurie was a good-looking guy. He had the tattoos going, and he had the bro look. But I will say that, okay, and I can say this as a fellow short king. He was tiny. He was a tiny little dude. He's out there with his little muscles.
You can't really tell when
around.
You're, like, you know, you're in the stands. You're not sizing him up. But
yes, you can't. That's the point. What do you mean you can't tell when you're in the stands?
And he
what
plays
are you just trying to gaslight me? Let's just try to gaslight me into thinking that when you go to sporting events, you can't tell if people are big or not. Like you're
also,
there, like
third base is the premier you can get looked at position.
Yeah,
so that's why. Okay, and then another text. There's no doubt that the who's that this year is Kirk.
Yeah.
Maybe for different reasons.
Rude.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get slightly more serious, but not too serious. So the Jays will open tomorrow against the Rangers. Last year, they go 91-71, come up a game short of making the postseason. We're heading into a year where the expectation is postseason. The expectation is potentially, hey, go out there and win the AL East. With the AL East as loaded as it is, Fangraphs projects four teams to win at least 86 games in that division. So everything matters here. You don't want to wring your hands too much about one of 162, but these are all going to matter in the end. Mm-hmm. We'll start here in terms of setting the Jays season up with these fun props. The odds makers have the Jays over under set at 92.5 wins. So if you're taking the over, that's at least a 2-win improvement. And if you believe in a projection system like Fangraphs, that might be enough to win you the AL East in a year where four teams project between 86 and 92 right now. So 92.5 wins for the 2022 Toronto Blue Jays. You going over or you going under? Ailish.
So,
oh, JD, you go right ahead.
Well, I just think that the question is, do you think the Blue Jays are a better baseball team this year? Because the division has not, I would say, drastically improved. Would we all agree on that? Like, the division has remained, I think, pretty stagnant in terms of who has done what. There have been some really nice pieces of business, like, around the fringes of this, but there was no, like, overhaul with these teams. We're returning these same teams, essentially, with some tweaks around the edges. Is that the way that you would describe it, Blake?
I think that's fair. And the Red Sox and Yankees, as a reminder, won 92 each last year, and the Rays won 100.
Yep. It's hard for me to envision. There's the main two reasons why you believe is, one, that they have this now vaunted starting pitching, like this staff that you expect to have all year long of Berríos and a full year of Manoah and Gausman. I guess the only question I have about it is, what are we actually getting from Ryu and Kikuchi? And what happens if one of those three guys isn't what we expect them to be? If you remember coming into last season, we all thought that the starting pitching was going to be a bit of a disaster. Like, it was, why are they taking a flyer on Steven Matz? Robbie Ray started the year injured, and we thought, boy, this guy, they really rushed to re-sign Robbie Ray, huh? Like, remember those takes? Why did they jump the market to re-sign Robbie Ray? We all thought it was going to be Hyunjin Ryu carrying the load, and then potentially Nate Pearson at some point being the number two, and that they were going to go from, like, the control pitcher to the fireballer, and that was the way that they were going to, like, line things up against teams. We could not have been more wrong. So I guess that's all to say is, starting pitching staffs, while they always look great on paper, I am reminded of 2013, where everyone had Josh Johnson down to win the Cy Young. So there's just a bit of caution for me when I go, hey, they're going to end up with more wins because they have Berríos. Because I look at last year's staff, and just remember how good Steven Matz was. There was a month last year where he was their best pitcher, right? Like Manoah came up and had an all-time rookie season. Robbie Ray won the Cy Young. They kind of survived a little bit of what Ryu was for a little while. So with two question marks in the rotation in Ryu and in Kikuchi, and you add that to, I think Gossman's going to be a stud. I really do. But he is coming back to the American League East after being in the NL. There's always a little bit of a question mark with that. Berríos, the pressure of an all-in season at the top guy, the potential for a Manoah sophomore slump. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just saying I'm not taking that area as the guarantee they're going to be better. Same with the batting order. They hit incredibly well last year. And so I mentioned this to you, but yesterday's show, George Springer being there for the full season is the reason why you'd believe they would take a win up from the hit standpoint. But they lost Semien, who was arguably their MVP on a team that had Vladdy. And they were relatively healthy otherwise. To me, the big thing is the bullpen. You remember how many games they blew last year. And it's not just that they blew them, it's who they blew them to. The Red Sox, the Yankees, the Rays. The Blue Jays blew games against all of those teams. They were hanging with those teams. That's where I see the improvement. I don't see this team having a tire fire bullpen this year. And I also think they're going to add to that department. I think that they're a more mature team. I believe on balance that the rotation is going to be good, that they might even add a bat, and that the batting order is obviously elite, elite, elite. So you factor that in with a little bit of better team defense. And I'm going to say that, yeah, the Blue Jays are going to go over this win total. And I actually feel pretty confident that they will.
I'm going to agree with everything you just said, but add in the fact that I do think playing at home, full season, having a little bit of bitter taste in your mouth from falling short basically by one win last year and seeing how tough your division is, that to me, I don't know the quantity of wins, but that's got to give you 2-3 extra wins just being back in your ballpark, knowing that the city is going to be able to go to games. Like, I really do think there's something about that that will help the Blue Jays get over their win total from last year. So, like, with everything that JD said and you add that factor in, I definitely would hit the over on the 92.5 wins.
Blake, and look, is it weird to say that I'm a little suspicious of that number, though, because it actually came in a little, like, lower, considering that everyone's so optimistic about this team? Like, what did you read anything into that? Because my antennas went up a little bit when it wasn't 94 or 90.
No, I know that number is where it is because the AL East is so tough. Like, I mentioned the Fangraphs projections, and the safe play is, oh, well, all these teams will probably win in the high 80s, low 90s of games. Mm. And to stick your flag in, oh, we think this one team is going to win. Like, the Rays won 100 games last year. I don't know what their win total over under is, but I'd guess it was somewhere around here. It's just, on a balance of probabilities, hard to project a team in a division this good to win into the high 90s. So we'll get into some other props momentarily, but you'll see that the Jays are still the favorite in the division, despite being 92.5 as their win total. So there's a couple things going on there in terms of, hey, what's a realistic projection in a thresher of a division?
Okay, so I think we're all consensus that this is a, like, why would you ever want to even bet the under on this? It's just like, if you live here, so it's kind of one of those ones where even if I talk myself into the idea that there's a little bit of value on the under here, given the nature of the division, and you just kind of want to bet this one as a fun over for the season. It's always good if you're doing a season-long win total to have your home team and go to games.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you this. Win in any sport, betting the under on teams is excruciating because, like, in the NBA, for example, all my overs have hit already, but I have the Pistons and Magic unders, and they can both win one game. They can go 1-1 the rest of the way, and my unders hit. But if they go 2-0, I lose. Like, that's how close it is. And so now you're in the last week of the season rooting against the Detroit Pistons, and you just feel like a bully.
But I like that. But I actually love that. I love
that's where you're at for baseball. Like, you really want to be there on the final week of the season and be like, well, I do want the Jays to get a playoff spot, but this is more important to me because I have the Orioles under 6.5 wins on the season, or whatever the Orioles win total is. It's probably single digits.
I do just want to say, though, to de-homerify this a touch, and again, that always gets portrayed as negative now, but just a little bit of de-homerification. The division is very strong.
Yeah.
And in a weird way, because people get – baseball is such a local sport where you focus on your team so much that sometimes, I think even more than other sports, you don't look at the other team until you're facing them. And all of a sudden, you look at the standings, and we did this last year where – a big reason to believe in the Blue Jays and why they were spending money was that we had this belief that the division was going to take a step back, that maybe the Red Sox weren't that good, maybe the Yankees had already peaked, and then lo and behold, those two teams both made the playoffs. And those, it should be also noted that they are also teams that are going to spend and try to add during the seasons as well, right? Like, the Toronto Blue Jays are not the only ones that are going to be doing that this year.
Yeah, and I'll just say, too, in addition to the division being tough, this is, like, we talk about one of them good problems when it comes to some of the nitpicking with the Jays. If they hit the over on this, that means that they've had the best regular season they've had since at least 1993. Like, they won 93 games in 2015, so they just barely hit the over, and that's the only time. So we're talking about a very high bar here. So let's move it off of the win total. I think we all are optimistic they'll beat last year's 91 wins. I put in our planning doc there some season-long props, including World Series odds, American League odds, some award odds, some stat odds. I want you guys to pick just your favorite from that group for now, and we'll talk around them. So, Ailish, you hit us lead off here. Oh, well, I'll go to JD since you didn't do your – you were out galloping.
Well, no, I did. I didn't – I thought we were going to go line by line, so I just got to pick.
But I said you can pick anything you want.
So, let's start with awards. Let's start with awards because I think there's only one real value play here. There's two, really, depending. So there's Barrios at plus 2,200 for the Cy Young. If you're Ricky Romero and you have conviction that he's going to be a top three pitcher this year, then that's a really good value bet. I think Cy Young, the idea that the Blue Jays would win that award 2 years in a row is kind of unfathomable for me. And so it's just, it's not a play that I'm going to make. I don't like the Vlad MVP number because, okay, he could win. He could replicate last year's season. He could end up winning this. But plus 375 for a season-long bet, it just doesn't move me in that way. The only one on this list that I actually like is Bo plus 2,200 to win the MVP. And I actually think that this is a fascinating one. All of a sudden, the Blue Jays have Matt Chapman on the left side of the infield. And I wonder if Bo can play plus defense, which he did last year, whether or not that's going to build some hype of – quote unquote, this is the best left fight, like, side of an infield in the American League East. Two is that the American League East, and this is something I want to talk about with Chris Mad Dog Russo later, it's kind of, it's really hard to be the face of the NBA if you're on the Toronto Raptors, right? Like, you don't get national games, nobody really sees you. It's part of why Scottie Barnes might not win Rookie of the Year, because people have frankly seen him less than they would have seen an Evan Mobley, maybe even less than a Cade Cunningham. But you could be the face of baseball and be a Toronto Blue Jay because you're facing the New York Yankees a ton still. You're facing the Boston Red Sox a ton still. You're in their purview. They're aware of the players that you have. If Bo can live on the potential of what he is as a guy who gets hot, I really think he could get MVP buzz, especially considering if he's the best player on a team with Vladdy and he adds that defense, you'll see Bo Bichette get MVP buzz. A lot of people around baseball think that he could be the MVP of this team. Some people believe that he actually is the long-term face of this franchise over Vlad. Maybe this is the year he does it. I think that that's going to be the best price you're ever going to get on Bo Bichette for his career to win MVP. That's the way I'll put it. Plus 2,200, I don't think we'll ever see another year during Bo's prime where the number is that high. So I like that one in terms of a long shot flyer out of all these groups. It's not to say I don't think Vladdy has a good shot at MVP. It's purely plus 375 for 162 games for the front runner for the MVP award. Doesn't seem like the most entertaining bet. I'll just bet Vladdy to hit a home run when I go to a baseball game and get the same value.
Okay, so if you're going the route that JD just mentioned, which you pretty much sold me on it, I also like the value on Bo for most hits, which is plus 1,100. He was second in that last year, just four hits below Turner. And Vladdy was three hits below that with 191 and 188. And I think, you know, if JD's on the right page with him having one of these incredible seasons, he was really close to winning that last year. I don't see why he couldn't continue that this season. And for that value, plus 1,100 for someone that finished second last year, I think there's a lot on that.
Yeah, I like those. The other one of the group that I like to keep it with stats there, since you took it there, Ailish, is Teoscar plus 2,000 for most RBI.
Yeah.
He had a monster season last year with 116 RBI. It looks like he's going to hit behind Vlad and Bo in the order again. He's a harder one for MVP because he plays a corner outfield, and those guys
never win MVP.
No, those guys have a little bit of an uphill battle with that kind of stuff. Like, even just looking at last year, I would say Teoscar had an offensive season on par with Bo's, but he's worth a win less because of the defensive adjustment and things like that. So I'm with you on the Bo value for sure. Teo at plus 2,000 for most RBI feels like a decent play as well, under the assumption he's going to hit fourth behind Springer, Bo, Vlad, as they have for the most part with this core together.
Yeah, that's one where I actually go, okay, well, Semien's gone. That's a lot of on base. But Springer potentially playing a full season, that actually does balance out a little bit for me. So yeah. I would
and if
say
you're
that
a believer that the Jansen Biggio at the bottom of the order mm-hmm. is a little stronger than last year's bottom of the order, that doesn't directly affect Teoscar if he's hitting fourth, yeah. But it keeps the order moving a little bit more. More pitchers pitching in situations with runners on base, pitching out of the stretch and things like that. So that could
either way, snowball. he was third. He hit 100. He had 116 RBI last year. Yeah. I think that the number can be right around there. I believe in who Teoscar is. And again, he's someone who's looking for a contract. And I still think that you get paid for runs that you bat in. I think that guys look around that with baseball. I want one last thought on the Bo MVP case with you, Blake, because I kind of want you to weigh in on that number. Can he win, though, with his streakiness at the plate and the swing? Like his pitch selection? Because the problem with Bo is that he goes through those slumps where he's probably the best player in baseball to ratio to fans turning on him going, how can you swing at that pitch? Or, of course, you're down 0-2 again. Like, why does it always have to be this way, guy?
Yeah, so top 50 players last year, hitters by wins above replacement, Bo had the third lowest walk rate. We're talking about Tim Anderson and Javi Baez, slap hitting guys who are speed guys, are the only guys who walked less frequently than Bo Bichette. The one thing he does have going from a purely statistical, not narrative perspective is he doesn't actually strike out a ton, not as much as you might think with his plate discipline profile. Like, he was under 20% strikeout rate, which is pretty solid in the modern majors. I do think streakiness can work two ways, right? We know that the start of the season and the end of the season are going to be your best opportunities to swing narrative. So if he starts hot and then ends hot and has some cold streaks in between, I don't think it matters at all. If you slump down the stretch in a playoff race or you come out of the gate where, you know, Vlad and Teoscar and Springer have the, like, immediately other fans around baseball, other media around baseball are like, oh yeah, Bo's not the biggest piece of this team. Look at how deep they are. Then yeah, that's a tough thing to climb back from over the course of the year, I think. Because then you get into also like vote splitting and stuff like that. I do like the Bo value though. Among all the Jays MVP stuff, I do like that one the best.
Yeah, I do too. I guess my only point is that baseball is, out of all of them, the least narrative driven because it's the sport where we can quantify your impact the best. Defense is the one area where I still don't, I know we have defensive statistics, but I don't trust them as much as offensive ones, obviously. There's just more variables at play with them. But the reason why I like I mentioned the defense thing in the left side of the infield is that that's where I think you can build a little narrative of, hey, Bo was someone who people thought wasn't even going to be a shortstop, and now he's one of the better, rangier shortstops in the game. Let's see if he can figure out a little bit better with the throws, but when it comes to range, he is very good there. And if he and Chapman can compile a ton of highlights, you could end up having a little bit of like, yo, look at these two guys, look at his position, right? It's the Mike Trout versus Josh Donaldson thing where you go, well, Mike Trout plays center field, so we should be taking this into account a little bit more. I worry in a league that is so hyper-focused on on-base percentage, and rightfully so, because guess what? Getting on base is sort of the
outs are bad.
Yeah, outs are bad, and getting on base is good. That if Bo's walk rate is just simply always going to prevent him from being like a guy that we look at as, hey, this guy's obviously one of the best players in the game, but that's always going to be his but that.
Yeah. That is a thing, although the only caveat on that I'd say is you can overcome it. So Bo's 343 OBP last year was actually higher than Semien's. The fact that like a hit's as good as a walk, right? So the fact that Bo hits a lot
better, I'd say.
Volume, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can move a guy first to third. Yeah, it's a more fun.
Although watching a guy draw a sexy walk, like, you know, that is, oof, I can't wait. You know, that the plate discipline of watching somebody just lay off a breaking ball down two, like with a full count. Ooh, let me see it.
It's the only reason I still have some shares of Kevin Biggio, where it's like, you really, I know you can't do a ton with it when you get your pitch, at least not the last 2 years, but boy, can you identify the pitch. All right,
buddy, wait till we get Ennis on to talk about walks later. He's the walk king. He loves walking.
And I want to save some of these props for him as well. So let's that's a lot of, hey, what could Jays do? That's a lot of fun, but the value's not there on Vlad. So let's do a different Vlad one. This isn't one you'll find at your books, but the Raptors are 46-33. They've got 3 games left. What total finishes higher, Toronto Raptors regular season wins or Vladimir Guerrero Jr. home runs?
Vladimir Guerrero home runs. That's it. Easy
for me. He hit 48 last year.
Yeah,
and what did you say the Raptors are at?
The Raptors have 46 wins right now with 3 games to go.
Okay. I think that's it's a very good question, but I'm still going to go Vladdy.
It's a beautiful question. It's a lovely question.
It's great to think about. It's actually a really wonderful job.
Well, why it's also lovely is that it's like, if Vladdy wins this bet, he's probably going to need 50 bombs. I've made the mistake in
Did you say regular season or in general, including the playoffs?
No, regular
Not
season.
Not including the playoffs, no.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they could win 49 games. Like, they have 3 games left, 46 plus 3. I know you're sleepy,
that's
but like, it's like
I, that's... Then I, no, I just got worried for a second that also included playoffs, but it doesn't. So
No. I've made the mistake of doubting Vladdy's power in the past. Not so much that I didn't think that he could hit home runs because I was at the Rogers Center for his debut where he smacked a BP ball off
I feel like JD's about to go all nerd and talk launch angles and stuff.
I'm not going to go launch angles. I'm just going to say that I think that Vladdy, and I know there's another prop in here that I like, but I think that Vladdy, he's gonna have a year, like another year. And that what I love the most about him coming into this is that something tells me that for the first time in a while, like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. felt like he was slighted a little bit. Like obviously he had the people questioning his weight. That motivated him to have last year's season, and it worked out, right? He got serious about baseball, and it worked. And he saw the fruits of his labor materialize. But I think that the Shohei thing, it seems to have bothered him a bit that was just such a lock it up and seal it in and send in the MVP vote for Shohei, which, again, I think was the correct call for Shohei. That was a once-in-a-lifetime thing that we just saw there. But Yeah, I don't know. I think Vladdy's going to hit 50 bombs this year. So I'm going to take the over. I'm going to say Vladdy hits 50.
Okay, let's do one more fun Vlad one before we get to the A-list. We can, again, we're going to sprinkle these throughout the show today in A-list with Ben Ennis later, maybe even with Arden later as well. We'll see. Arden's largest bicep curl versus, I don't know, Springer plate appearances or something like that. 20 years ago.
We are both way more jacked than Arden. Like, both of us would put Arden in a Ziploc. And
what about me?
Well, yeah, you too, but not you in your current state.
So, 20 years ago, Vladimir Guerrero Sr. Chases 40-40.
Yeah.
The vaunted 40 home run, 40 stolen bases threshold. He comes up short, but he actually comes up short on the home run side. In 2001, he has 34 home runs, 37 stolen bases. 2002, 39 home runs, 40 stolen bases. We'll ignore the fact that over those two seasons, he led baseball with 36 caught stealings. We don't, the risk aversion was a little less.
That is wild. That is wild. Imagine that happened today. Like, imagine
you
Vladdy
got caught stealing 36 times over two seasons. Twitter and the Blue Jays talk and things like that would have you on a plane.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
So I bring this up because Vladdy was running a little bit in spring training, stole some bases. Everyone's like, oh, maybe Vladdy can run a little bit. He quietly stole four bases last year. He's 5-for-7 stealing bases in the majors. And you got to go back a little bit. But in 2016, over just 60 games at rookie ball, he stole 15 bags. There's more to base stealing than just top end speed. It's anticipation. It's reading a pitcher. It's timing. It's all the things that make Vlad a good hitter, just with speed mixed in. So my question for you guys, in a ballpark that does not allow you to hit a lot of triples, is which number is higher, Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s stolen bases this year or the number of triples the Blue Jays hit as a team?
So I love this so much. I love these questions. Thank you, Blake, for doing all the work. Blue Jays had 13 triples last year as a team. Vladdy had 4 stolen bases. This would be quite the uptick if we can just say that 13 is about a pretty reasonable number. Again, it's a really fun one to do because you just have to check quickly to make sure that there was no person weirdly like Corey Dickerson having multiple triple. And it's like, no, okay. Like, you know, you just need to run through it quickly and be like, hey, you're going to get the added Springer time. I think that he could be a triples guy. Maybe Bo upticks the triples a little bit if he continues to be an absolute hit machine. I think they're going to finish around that number of 13. You know what the one thing you left off the list, Blake, of things you need to be a good
base stealer?
Or get a block.
You need to be on first and not hit home runs?
Well, that, but also you got to have the green light. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, Vladdy has the green light.
I think
that they're looking at this thing and saying, we will do whatever will make this guy happy. Like, whatever Vladdy wants, Vladdy gets. And if Vladdy gets on base and Vladdy wants to run one down, I think Charlie and co. are going to be just fine with it. And maybe he doesn't have 36 getting thrown outs in his pocket to have, but I think he has a few. I think he has a few. And again, if we're talking about ways that he can tilt MVP towards him and be the face of baseball tilt towards him, it is getting 20 stolen bases. So I don't know if he'll end up with that number, but I think he has over 10 this year. And so if I'm going to take over 10 stolen bases for Vladimir Guerrero Jr., which I think is a lockety lock, then I'll take his over the triples, where I think they're going to end up between, 10 and 15.
So I like the triples analysis there, the Vlad Jr. stolen bases thing. The one thing that might make me think red light is, hey, the higher your offensive environment as a team, the less valuable, maybe not less valuable stolen bases are, but the more costly a caught stealing is, right? Like, if you're Vlad and you end up, we'll talk to Ben Ennis about the Jays batting order and how that might get optimized. Let's say he hits second and he's ahead of Bo and Teoscar. If you get thrown out, that's a big cost, right?
Yeah, but he's not going to hit second.
But if he hits third, and there's no one on base in front of him, and it makes him happy. And hey, he did go 4-for-5 last year. It's not like 80%. I don't care what your offensive environment. That's above your break-even rate for stolen base success. Let him go. Ailish, you have a feel on this one?
There's no one that's more fun to watch steal a base right now, though, too. Like, that big booty running down, like, go, go, go. Like, you know?
It's like when Kirk tries to stretch out a double or maybe even a triple. So,
That I have less fun with because I'm like, what are you doing the entire time? Please stop, my little pork chop. No more. Sorry, Ailish. What do you feel? How are you feeling on this one?
No, I'm not. I think it'll be close. That's a big step up from 4. I think 4 to 10 is a lot. I'm comfortable saying 8. Let's go with 8. I think that that's still feasible. He got one in spring training, which is, you know, it's not a lot of games. That was pretty impressive. He got, 4 last year? I think doubling that is still, I'd still be very happy with that. I think the offensive environment thing, I didn't even think about that factor. I think it really does influence my pick on this one. So let's go with 8.
What I love about Blake doing this work too, though, is that it's like it really is a game show where he's only not only asking us questions,
but
he's
like Price is Right rules.
No, he's like the Trebek where he also knows the answers. Like I keep waiting to come back and be like, "Well, Blake, did we get it right?" Because he's gonna have actually like the best stats to quantify this out of both of us. And so I go like, "Well, Blake, what's the answer? Is it stolen bases or is it triples? Like you tell us. Like what do you think it's gonna be?"
Yeah, and I get the Alec Trebek very disappointed in you. Like, of course this is the answer, you jabroni,
you idiots.
I've leaned triples. I thought about doing triples like -2.5 or something like that, just to tighten the line a little bit.
That's fine.
But hey, I don't know. I want to see Vlad run. I love the stolen base is one of the most exciting plays in baseball. I want to see. Let him go. Let's see.
Well,
one
what about
more
how? We... Sorry, how many did he attempt last year? Did you have that number?
5. Yeah.
He only attempted. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. He said 80%. So how many do you think he'll attempt this year?
But last year, I think it was just a very different... Last year was Vladdy's prove-it season. Like, last year was him getting the equity of this guy. This is his team, right? Like, they brought in Semien, and both Springer and Semien, by the end of the year, were like, this is this guy's team. He's our leader. We go as he goes. And if you recall, like, even when they were slumping, and even when they were trying to... Like, he went through a little mini slump after the All-Star break, and we all were going and saying... The team is Vladdy's team. He was frustrated. We saw a different side of him. I really believe that part of the... You're right. There's an opportunity cost, Blake, with, you know, losing guys on base. But if he can stay at that clip of 80% of stealing a base, I just think that there's just going to be more times where he gets the chance to do it. And so will he get the opportunity to steal 15 bases this year? I think he will. And so if the conversion rate is similar, then I think he's going to be around the similar number. So that's all. I just think it's the uptick actually doesn't need to be that drastic, even if it looks very drastic on paper.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you're going from 10 to 20, that's huge. 4 to 8 isn't that much. I'll still lean triples, though.
Yeah.
Let's one tiny one before we take a break.
Okay. Like
Vlad stolen bases on the season or JD Beers at the home opener?
Oh, wow.
So
see,
it's
now,
Vlad.
I'm putting you in a spot where, JD, you've been optimistic about Vlad stolen bases. This is a tougher one for Ailish, though. We just
I don't
established
think JD
Ailish,
can handle 10 beers at the home
but
opener.
But you just established that your stolen
or
base projection
eight.
For Vlad
he
is maybe more in the single digits.
He can handle 8 beers at the home opener.
I would like to tell you conclusively right now that I have 1,000% had 8 beers at a home opener. 1,000%.
That's a lot of beers.
We had a home opener one year where we got the flight deck rented out for the Sportsnet side, and there was open bar for the flight
8
deck.
Large beers. Are we talking those little
correct.
Ones that you can get for $5 at that one part of the
8
the
large ballpark? Beers. Correct. You are so Ailish. One, I'm drinking Bud Lights.
I'm severely underestimating you.
I'm drinking Bud Lights, and so that's the thing about Bud Lights is that you can drink a million of them. Like that's so I'm not trying to pretend like I'm Mr. going up to the IPA cart and saying, "Give me the hoppiest
of." Makes a difference.
Okay.
Yes, I'll have
of course,
8.5%.
So I'm not trying to, like, manly man this, okay? Mm-hmm. But 8 Bud Lights at the Blue Jays is definitely within reason JD number. Like, it is. Here's where I'm definitely not going to do it. They have since – it's, like, different eras, like the three-point line. Now they have the King can, the mega can of
– I was picturing the King can.
Okay, no.
Well,
cause...
we would have to make some sort of milliliter adjustment where, like, basketball, we use true shooting percentage to adjust for the value of threes. We're going to have to do, like, an adjusted can volume. Like, we're going to have to scale it to a regular tall boy, I think.
I would say that my most – beers at Blue Jays games. 2016 wild card game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think I drank 1,000 beers. Like, I really do. Like, I really think that. Like, it was one of those situations where I had so many cans near my feet that it was like any time I moved,
couldn't even
it was like,
walk.
Yeah. It was like I sounded like a bum, like just like moving around. It was like, you know, cans.
You had more cans of beer under your feet than Zach Britton had empty tins of chew from just waiting and waiting and waiting. Here's the other issue with this bet is I don't know if our stat cast on JD Beers will be reliable because I'll be into them too. And I would be playing the role of StatCast, trying to track.
That's
that
why
data
you, every time you go
Friday.
Get a beer, you just gotta like, you know.
Oh yeah, I'll take the pen out of my pocket. No, I'm a nerd.
On,
I'm not bringing
Blake.
A pen.
You
to
guys
the
have
baseball
to set
Blake,
the selfie.
Wade Boggs. This is the Wade Boggs. We just have to wear the T-shirt,
yeah,
the white shirt
with the marker on the face.
The marker,
when you pass
that's,
out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
All
like
right.
It.
Let's take a break. This has been a fun segment. We have the fun segment coming
I'll
up
show
the
you
A-list
guys.
After
I'll
the break.
Show you.
I'll continue sprinkling these in with Ben Annis, with Art and Zwelling throughout the day. maybe even throw some at Mad Dog Russo a little later. Loaded show today, but when we come back, it's the A-list on the Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590 The Fan.
Unrivaled insight, analysis, and opinions on all things Blue Jays. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. That's somebody's walk-up song, but it sounds like that Stone Cold Steve Austin guy.
It sure is.
Yeah,
so
it is.
Topical,
sure.
Topical for the weekend we just had.
Oh, somebody used that?
WrestleMania. Well, Stone Cold was on WrestleMania.
But,
if you were
I know, but like
your...
somebody used that for a
walk-up
song?
Oh, yeah, they
song?
Did. So topical for Stone Cold being back. Topical for JD crushing beers, just signaling to the vendor to toss me two, smashing them together. JD, do you know who used that as the rock-up song? Though?
No, I'm struggling with this one because it's a song. I think it's an all-time walk-up song in wrestling because it's actually number one for me because the shattering of the glass and also like the attitude of the riff with the way that it reflected Stone Cold. It's like, to me, the two greatest walkout songs are Ronda Rousey, where it's like, "Don't give a damn about my reputation," when she was tearing through the US. Like, when she would come out to that, I would get chills, like, every single time. And that's how I feel about Stone Cold's music, too. But I can't place this one, and I'm like, embarrassed because I feel like I should know this. Like,
do you want a hint, or do you want me to just give it to you?
No,
okay,
just
hint,
give it to me.
Hint. Oh.
No, just give it to me because I want to get to the A-list, and otherwise I'm going to go crazy with it.
All right, fine.
Matt Stairs.
Okay. That's right. That's right, and that's fair. But yes, that was also before I was going to Jay's games on the
I
regular,
thought it was
so,
still within the... Because, like, you would have been in university.
Yeah. No, I was watching games.
32 bombs over two seasons.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. I was watching Matt Stairs, no question. I just mean that, like, I'm going to be more upset if I miss guys where my era of going to the ballpark in this city is basically 2013 and onwards, where it was like I went to games on the regular.
I think that's the furthest back one that I have.
Okay. Interesting. All right. But yes, amazing. And... yeah, Matt Stairs, all time. You guys want to talk about who could crush eight beers at a baseball game?
Boy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. If baseball ever went to slow pitch rules where you got to chug a beer on first, chug a beer on second, Matt
he's
Stairs
Babe Ruth.
Would be the MVP.
Yeah,
he's Babe I Ruth. Lied. This goes back as far as 2006, so same era of team. I thought us in university was the right cutoff for it.
Yeah.
What about me?
Yeah, well, I figured... I couldn't do all like 2015 to present, especially since you have the Ox Sport tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Let's
don't
do
make
the A-list.
Me mad about you being so young and your hangover not even being
A-list.
Now it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
Okay. I feel like I really want to tell the story quickly from last night because a lot of our coworkers would like me to share. No, it was funny. All so right. I was at the Conn Smythe Award dinner gala event last night with some of our lovely colleagues, who I've never met in person, obviously, since I've started this job. We've basically been remote, and it was a great opportunity.
Or in the morning when, like, we
true, when everyone's not at the office.
No one's even there, yeah.
So I haven't met many people, okay? We go, it's at the Fairmont Royal York. I'm wearing a long gown. Like, it's a, you know, you really get dressed up. About 2 hours into the evening, the heel on my heels breaks, okay? Like, just snaps off, which is just a little bit embarrassing, but snaps off. But I proceeded to go the next 2 hours without anybody noticing by standing on one tiptoe and somehow managing with my calves to pretend I was at the same height. Anyway, I had like a calf cramp and I had to take my shoes off and walk around this gala for the next 2-3 hours with no shoes. We stashed the shoes into the garbage, and I went home barefoot.
We stashed them. We stashed yeah. them in the garbage.
No, they wouldn't fit in the garbage, so we just kind of threw them. I'm so sorry to everyone listening that didn't know this. But, yeah, so I walked around barefoot at the Conn Smythe Gala because my heel broke, but I toughed it out for 2 hours, and today my calf is in shambles. So
you went home bare feet, though?
I went to the front desk and I asked if they had those like hotel slippers because I thought, well, that's a great, like, what? I didn't bring extra shoes.
That's a smart idea. That's, I know.
And they said, no, what room are you in? I said, well, I'm actually here for the event. And they're like, we can't give these to you. Like, sorry, you need to stay here.
Rats.
I know, right?
Rats. That they wouldn't do that to you.
But we all tried. Like, other individuals that are on, you know, on the squad here went up and tried to get me slippers and they wouldn't give me slippers. So, barefoot at the...
I like how you went up and were like, do you have any slippers? They're like, what room are you in? You're like, oh, I can't get it. And then all of a sudden, drunk Vic rolls up and he's like, hello. He's like, I'm a guest here at the hotel. It's room 271.
I need slippers.
Yeah, immediately after. Like, okay, that's cool.
Awful.
What a championship move by you. That's incredible. It is dawning on me, though, like, okay, it's like, that's a thing a guy would never think about because when would we ever... We're never going to break a heel. But that feels like it's plausible enough for somebody at an event like that I don't know, that there's like somebody has like a pair of sneakers somewhere that you could borrow. Nope. I don't know, like, that's just, for some reason that feels like there should be shoe backup more than there is.
So I would say this is more on the hotel than any individual. So I've definitely like been to a wedding where women switch out their shoes or just like switch out their shoes once you hit the dance portion of the night, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but a gala, you don't quite expect that. But I think, look, the hotels, I've worked in the hotel industry before. Hosting a gala at a really nice hotel is not costing you nothing. If you're the front desk worker and your boss or the person who runs events finds out you couldn't break off a cheap $5 slipper for someone in a gown who's at the gala.
Yeah,
that's I don't know. I would have been getting there. I wouldn't have done this. I wouldn't have actually snitched, but I would have been like, you know, if I was a different person, your name is on your badge there. Or your
I leave the gala and I have to get in an Uber and it's pouring rain out.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
and it is sloppy steaks out there walking around on the streets of Toronto. Yeah. Getting into my Uber barefoot, just a disaster. But I toughed it out today. My leg is very sore though from the
you got true grit
2 hours of pretending I had heels on with one calf.
Why That's didn't good. You ditch dirt, them hey, immediately though
dirt because on the I was I was embarrassed. I don't know anybody, like my talking to people for the first time I've ever met them, my coworkers, to say
I don't know. I think
heel.
It's a perfect icebreaker where they're like, where are your shoes? And you go, oh my god. I would have carried around, I would have not thrown out the broken heel, and I would have walked around like Cinderella with the slipper and had the one heel and been like, guess what happened? This is why, like, I have proof that I have shoes.
Yeah,
like,
it makes you look a lot more intoxicated than you are if you're doing that.
I actually think your only mistake here was not keeping the shoes for that reason, but, like, you don't have to walk that. I would have held onto the shoe to get in the Uber still. Like, I would have kept them for that reason.
They were unwearable.
Yeah. Listen, you're a champion, though. I really do respect. I respect the fact that you did
Vic
it for
just
two
reminded
hours.
Me in my ear that Vic obviously was there with me. I got Sam McKee to break the other heel so then I could wear both of them without the heel part. and he ripped the shoe in half. So we tried to find a solution. He tried his best. He ripped the heel, ripped the shoe kind of in half, and they were unwearable. We tried to find a solution to where I could just wear them as like flats. Didn't work.
Yeah.
Didn't work out. All right.
You should
good
ask
on you.
Sam to
dirt
do
on,
it. Like,
dirt on the jersey. If you're coming back to the dugout with an out, the best way to do it is dirt on the jersey. So good for you. Good for the team for trying to help you out. Bad on that hotel for not breaking you off a slipper.
Yes.
But good story. Glad you guys all had a good time. Let's take a break. Let's bring Ben Ennis in. Let's do a few more of those Jays props. Let's talk about our excitement for opening week. Let's talk a little bit about the Masters. That's next on the Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590, The Fan.